Amen.
You may be seated. Grab your Bibles, and if you have them, grab your James notebook. We're going to continue our eight-week journey this morning through the book of James. Now, today is about the halfway mark through the book of James. And I'll tell you, I don't know about you, but this has been, for me, one of my favorite studies we've done here as a church. Because James is such a very practical teacher, I'm not a real smart guy, and so anything that can sort of just be bottom shelf, I can start on Monday, what we talk about on Sunday, is always really good for me, and so I hope you've appreciated and found this to be helpful as well. I want to begin this morning with just a statement that I have found, and most of you who've lived any length of time found to be true, and here it is. By the way, if you want to take notes, you can fill out, there's a space in your James notebook. You say, well, I don't have one. We have new ones coming later this week. So if you don't have one, we'll have some extra copies this next Sunday that you can pick up. We're all out. You used us up, which is great. But this has our daily reading Monday through Friday, as well as a space for Sunday teaching notes. Because we want this to be more than just something we listen to and kind of halfway process on Sunday, but really where we eat up the Word of God and allow His Word to change us from the inside out. So if you want to take this notes, this will not be up on the screen, but this is just a key principle of life, that sometimes all you need in life is a small adjustment to see a big change. Sometimes all you need in life is a small adjustment to see a big change. I'll say it one more time. Sometimes all you need in life is a very small adjustment to see a great big change. I'm turning 36 this year. You go, boy, he is such a baby. Why, thank you. As I get older, that is more and more a compliment. And as I've gotten just a wee bit older, I've noticed this thing that so many of you have told me would happen. My body does not work the way that it once did. Now, it still works pretty well, but about 2 weeks now, I've had this constant crick in my neck. I go to bed at night, feels okay. I wake up about 2 a.m., it hurts. I roll over, it starts to feel better until I lay on that side for just a little bit too long, then ooh, it hurts. And so all night long, I'm doing this, back and forth, back and forth. And so I've got this crick. Now, if you're smarter than me, then you know what you ought to do is go see a chiropractor, because I've been told that all they do is they kind of get in there, they do something, and a small adjustment, makes a big difference. We know this is true when it comes to sports as well. Small adjustments make very big differences. So, how many of you like to go and slice and dice on the golf course? Can I see a big hand if you like to play golf? And you go, well, I like to play wee golf. Okay, fine. Raise your hand. Now, when you play golf, it's amazing. The mechanics are fairly basic. And yet the difference between a mediocre golfer and a great golfer is often some very small adjustments in the grip, in the swing. You connect with the ball and it goes farther and more in the direction you want it to go. Same with baseball. You see a batter in the batter's box positioning his feet, and if he can get his feet positioned a particular way, his elbow raised just the right way, he'll connect more strongly to the ball. Same with basketball. If you adjust your follow-through, you will hit more shots. Small adjustments can make a great big difference. And this is true not only in sports or our bodies, but James is going to say it's amazing that just a really small adjustment in one area of your life can have life-altering impact. In fact, he's going to talk about one of the smallest parts of our bodies. You say, well, what part is that? I'll give you one hint. It is this part of your body. If you can control this, everything changes. If you control that, everything can change. Small part, small adjustment, big change. By the way, do I have your attention now? How many of you never want to see me grab my tongue again in public? Glad I got your attention. Here we go. So James is going to bring us through 12 verses looking at a small item, small adjustment, and the world-changing impact small change can have. If you have your Bibles, whether it's electronic, physical, or wherever, I invite you to turn with me now to James, the third chapter. We'll begin in verse 1. He begins his word on the tongue with this: "Not many of you should presume to be teachers, my brothers, because you know we who teach will be judged more strictly." Now let's stop there for a moment here. We need to address this. He says, those who teach will be judged more severely. Now, I know a lot of you are going, well, yeah, of course we know that those who teach are judged more severely. We judge the preacher every Sunday when he's up there, almost like Olympic judges, 9.5, 9.4, 9.2, 7.4. Oh, you can never please the Russian judges. And you just kind of go, huh? So yeah, of course, we know that those who teach will be judged more severely. If you're in the kitchen, get used to the fire. Okay, fine, fair enough. But let's kind of broaden the circle here, because James is not simply talking about those who have a platform that is literally raised. He is saying that if you have a position of influence and someone who communicates, if you have a position of influence, God's going to count your words more. And so we ought to count our words more. This is true not only of Bible teachers or preachers or Sunday school teachers or small group leaders. And now I know some of you hear that word judge and kind of freaks you out. You go, no, wait a minute. Is this like end of days? God is going to blow me up kind of judging, and you know, I'm out if I don't carry my tongue well. And no. The beautiful promise of Romans 8 is that for those who are in Christ Jesus, there's no condemnation for us. Amen? Isn't that good news, family? But 1 Corinthians chapter 3 tells us that the way we live our lives impact, and I don't understand all this, but in some way impact our eternity. Not will we be with the Lord or will we be separated from Him, but what will our experience be like with the Lord? And what you do today matters for tomorrow. In fact, if we wanted to sort of give a really simple summary for the entire book of James, this is basically what he's going to say. He's going to say, not that you do good things to be saved, but rather, and here's just sort of a summary, I think we have it up available for you, is simply this: genuine faith leads to good deeds. Genuine faith leads to good deeds. It's not that you hold your tongue to be saved, but as you are saved, your tongue will begin to follow your salvation. You say, well, okay, that's fine. Teachers, others, I ain't never going to be a teacher. I ain't never going to do that because I do not want to be judged. All right, can we just make everyone a little more uncomfortable with this passage? Are you ready? You're going, no? Okay, well, here we go. How about this passage? Those who've been entrusted with a little and those who have responsibility over a little will be responsible for, or will be required. Let me do this a little differently here. To whom much is given, have you heard this? Much will be expected. If you are a person of influence, regardless of your professional sphere, if you're a coach, do you have a platform of influence? Oh, you bet you do. If you are a school teacher, do you have a platform of influence? Absolutely. By the way, school teachers, you have our children for more waking hours than many of us have with our kids. Do you have influence? Absolutely. Team captains, you are the one that others in your team look up to. Do you have influence? Absolutely. Bosses, do you have influence and a platform? Absolutely. Here's James's point. This does not simply apply to those who are in a professional teaching role or speaking role. Rather, for all who follow Christ, God says, listen, when I give you position of influence, whatever it may be, what you say is going to matter a lot. So watch your words. Very simple. Watch your words. Now, we'll go on in verse 2. Look what he says here. We stumble in many ways. Don't you love that? We all stumble in many ways. How many of you this week have done one or two or, you know, maybe three things that you'd kind of go, I missed the ball this week? Anyone in here, if we're being honest, and by the way, if your hand's not raised, you just stumbled this week. Isn't it good news, though, that we all stumble? So he's certainly saying this is how life ought to look, but recognize all of us are in process of becoming who we are called to be. That is such a peace giver to me. He says, you know, we all stumble in many ways. Now, here's the key thing. If anyone is never at fault in what he says, he is a perfect man able to keep his whole body in check. You say, really? If I learn to control this, I will never struggle with anything else? No, that's not what James means. He means that if you figure out what causes this thing to misbehave, you will have tracked back to the source of every misbehavior in your body. Because whether it's your mouth, your hands, your eyes, your ears, whatever it may be that misbehaves, it all comes from the same source. So if you're able to figure out what is influencing your mouth, you will have figured out what influences all the other areas of your life. Does this make sense? So James is going to say, this is such a big deal. This is such an important thing that he's going to give us three powers that our words have. You realize that your words have power over so much. In fact, three powers. They all start with the letter D. Now, as you think on this, let me give you one more little thing to think on here. This week, I did a little research. I was curious, how many words do we speak? And I know we got the big numbers and we got all this, but here's a simple way to think of it. This week, or the week you've just finished, you will have spoken so many words as to write a 500-page book. Each week, 500-page book. Here's my question. What are you writing with your words this coming week? If you were to categorize the story that you're going to tell by your words, what story would it be? For some of us, would it be a horror story this week? Would it be a mystery? Would it be a romance novel? It was Valentine's Day this past week. How many of you think you just hit it out of the ballpark with Valentine's Day? Okay. How many of you, well, we'll stop there, okay. Or are you writing maybe a heroic story with your words? Or how about this? How many of you are writing a God story with your words this week? Each week, 500-page volume, what are you writing? Because there's power in what we say. Here we go. Let's look at these three. The first one, they all start with the letter D. Here's the first one. Your tongue has the power to direct your life and the lives of others. Your tongue has the power to direct your life. This is what he says in verses 3 and 4 and the first part of 5. Notice what he says. He's going to give some examples. I love, by the way, how James is such a practical teacher, Thomas. I mean, he just kind of, he gives you examples, and they're so practical. So listen to what he says here. He goes, when we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we can turn the whole animal. Or take ships as an example. Although they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are steered by a very small rudder wherever the pilot wants to go. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. So he gives us two examples. He talks about, well, what did he just say here? Horses and ships. Have you ever ridden a horse? Have you ever been around a horse? Okay, I know we're in Antioch, and if you grew up in Antioch, like I'm not talking like 20, 30 years ago. I'm talking like Antioch, 40 plus years. Then you know about horses, don't you? Now, if you're like the rest of us, you know, you've seen a horse on TV, or maybe you've ridden a plastic horse, one of those things that go up and down, all the way around and around. But here's what I know about horses. I don't know much. A number of years ago, our family went on a trip, and we went out to a dude ranch out west. And have you ever seen the movie City Slickers? Oh, my goodness. It's like the Griswolds meet City Slickers when we went to the dude ranch. And so we get out there, you know, we all have the hats on, and I mean, we're feeling good. I sort of worked on my, you know, my gait as I was out there, and my mom looked over and said, "Wedgie?" And it was just like, no, okay. So we went out there. We were going to ride horses. So we all get on the horse. Now, before they're going to take us on this ride, they said, "We got to make sure that you're not going to fall off, break your neck, and sue us." So we get into the corral. And the plan is we're going to start with just a little walk. And then we're going to start with a little trot. And then we're going to start with a bit of a gallop. Now, we all were doing well on the walk. Hey, yeah. I mean, we felt good about ourselves. And then we started on the trot. Now, this is where things got interesting. I won't name names, but Mom, as she started on the trot, her horse started getting a little too excited and started into the full-on gallop. And I got to tell you, the way she was seated or something, she would go up as the horse went down. She looked like one of those paddle balls with the rubber ball at the end of it. And she's all the way across. Now, we thought it was hilarious until she looked at us. Not funny. But then my little sister Mary, who at the time couldn't have been more than about, I don't know, 6 months old practically, she's riding this thing. She's the size of a large peanut. She's on it. Now, if you know my sister Mary, she's not here today. She's a nurse, and so she's working. But if you knew my sister, you know that she has just this, she has this inner strength and this personality about her. Like, she's going to take control of whatever she's around. She gets on there. That horse got fresh. She went, and the horse goes, and then when she wanted to go, he went. And she's just flying. I mean, she's awesome on this thing. Here's the amazing thing. The size of the rider does not dictate the direction of the horse. Do you know what determines the direction of the horse? It's a little piece of metal, a little piece that goes inside the horse's mouth, the bit, itty-bitty piece. But what happens, you begin to pull on that bit, it begins to pull on the mouth. You affect the mouth of the horse, the body of the horse is affected. If the body's affected, the direction of the horse is affected. James is saying, listen, if Josh Diggs, if we can learn to control our tongues, it will direct our mouths, our bodies, the direction of our lives. He says, you don't think that's enough? Let's talk about big ships. You see, these massive carriers. My father-in-law is retired from the Navy, and he shows us pictures of the carriers that he would be on. My father-in-law is cool. He flew with Top Gun. Meow, 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 meow. I mean, and so he'll show us these pictures, and it's amazing how these massive, city-large ships are controlled by a relatively small rudder. He says, you know, these big winds. In the Greek, that's really this idea of this gale storm. Even in these massive winds, even when everything around you is pushing you this and that way, just this little rudder can determine where you really go. If you want to know the direction of a person's life, listen to the words they say. Because our words have power over us. You might want to write this down. If you don't like the direction your life is going, check which way your tongue is steering. If you don't like the way your life is going, check which way your tongue is steering. There are people that I know that are these oases, whatever. They are just these fresh springs of water of good words that come out, and their life is directed a particular way. And then I know other people who almost have like a septic tank for a mouth, and the direction of their life is dictated by their mouth. If you don't like the way that your life is going, check the direction your mouth is steering. Because your tongue has inordinate power over the direction of your life. How many of you ever heard someone say, or your mom say, if you don't have anything nice to say? Okay, we had the same mom, clearly. So the idea is, it is better to be silent than to speak negativity. It is better to not say anything than to speak something that is not true, something unholy, unhealthy. If you don't like the direction your life is going, check which way your mouth is steering. Now, here's the second D. Are you ready? The power of the tongue directs. The second one is it can destroy life. This is the next picture that James is going to use. In fact, he's going to give us another word picture here. In verse, second half of verse 5 through 8, notice what he says here. He says, likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue also is a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole person, sets the whole course of his life on fire, and is itself set on fire by hell. Let's stop there. That's pretty strong language, isn't it? Have you ever seen a fire? And I'm not talking about like a campfire that you get to go up and, ooh, that feels nice. I mean, I'm talking about like a, well, like a house fire. Some of you have seen those or lived through them. Have you seen a forest fire or a brush fire? Conditions are right, little spark. In December, you had that massive fire that raged through some of the nicest portions of Los Angeles. Over 400 acres snuffed out in just a couple days. Interstates shut off, people stuck, people evacuated. And they found out that it all started from just a mismanaged little, well, cooking fire. That just a little bitty, bitty spark. I mean, it's almost like it only takes a spark to get a fire going. Okay, by the way, this is fun. I know if you grew up in church because your eyes just lit up with that. It only takes a Okay, little cheesy church song. But here's the point. It doesn't take much to set fire to someone else's life. And you say, well, how's that possible? Come on, you know this is possible. If it were not possible that one phrase spoken over you back 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, 40 years would not still be a phrase that you remember today. I can remember on a youth retreat when I was a sophomore in high school, a careless phrase spoken by someone in that group one evening, and although I've forgiven the person, I've moved past it, it's still, if I'm not careful, the words spoken then will be brought up to my mind when certain situations happen. It stays with you, doesn't it? It's almost like someone takes a permanent marker and then writes a name on the soul of your heart and says, this is who you are. This is why, I mean, think about this. Your words, well, the proverb writer put this up. Proverbs 18 says this, verse 21. The tongue has the power of life, and say this with me, and death. We've seen words affect so many people, haven't we? You hear people say things like, well, finish this with me if you know it. Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. Sounds good, but we all know it's a lie, don't we? You've seen words destroy a husband's dreams, break a wife's desires, crush a child's heart. You've seen words break an employee's will, a student's desire to learn. You've seen words split churches, haven't you? Our words, they are these powerful little things. Listen, your words are so powerful. Think about this with me. When God decided to create, back in Genesis chapter 1, he did not pick up a hammer and some nails. He spoke. Because the power of words is incredible. Our words, have you ever heard someone say when they had a really good cut down? I mean, I remember this one cut down war. Have you ever been in a cut down war? Okay, don't admit, we're in church, but okay. I remember hearing about a cut down war. And I remember this great line was used, and then this better line was used. And the whole goal of the cut down war is to get one little zinger in that's better than the last zinger. And of course, the phrase that I've heard people say now, and when someone gets one up, they go, ooh, burn. And James would say, yeah, that's exactly right. You just burned that person. There's nothing about that that is uplifting or holy. In fact, he's going to say that it's not just that your words have this impact, and it's not just that these are just little ideas that come out. He's going to say, in fact, he has already said, it's not just fire, it's not just burning, but rather, those words are opening up the very gates of hell and ushering them into your presence. Have you ever thought about that? See, I may be a saved person who's going to heaven, but I can release hell through my words. Do you remember that moment when Peter has that word to Christ? You know, Jesus says, who do people say I am? And he said, well, you're the Lord, you're the Savior, you're the Messiah. And he goes, boy, attaboy, Peter. That's a great answer. In fact, that's so good. I know you. That's above your ability to come up on your own. But attaboy. Not 2 minutes later, Jesus begins to predict that he's going to the cross, and Peter thinking, I think I'll go for two attaboys, and he decides to correct Jesus. By the way, just a question, is it ever a good idea to correct Jesus? No, not at all. And so instead he says, Jesus, you're not going to die. No, that'll never happen. And Jesus goes from attaboy to saying what to Peter? Do you remember the phrase? Get behind me, Satan. You just opened a little bit of hell into this world when you spoke something that was untrue, ungodly, unholy, unhelpful. And so he's going to say, our words have this ability to direct us and to destroy. And by the way, just a side note here, let me talk to some of you. It's not just that your words affect other people, your words affect you. Have you noticed this? Hey, have you ever been in a sports team, or maybe you've been to one of those movies, and they're right there, half quarter. You know the scene. Big football game, home team down by, you know, 6 runs, 6 points. They got to pull this. Time is running out. They've got to do this. And so the coach gets them all together in the locker room. They feel defeated because they're down and they're frustrated. And what does the coach do? He begins to pump them up. He begins to remind them of who they are, what they can do, what they have done to come to this point. And he begins to speak words into them. Have you ever seen a coach in that moment remind them of all their failures and point out how poor they played and how they'll never amount to anything? Of course not. But I've seen many people, when the chips are down or they have messed up or they have failed in some area, speak to themselves in a way that a coach would never talk to them. And they'll say, I am so stupid. I could never be. Of course I shouldn't have tried out for that job. Of course I wasn't going to get it. How dumb of me. Or, of course she said no. I mean, have you seen me? Or how, I mean, everyone says I'm fat, I'm overweight, or this. And we say things about ourselves. You understand that when you speak to yourself, you're not just talking to you, you're talking about God's creation. And you're opening hell into yourself in a way that God himself will not do to you. So don't you dare speak to yourself that way. Can I get an amen? All right, here's the third thing, and we'll move on here. It directs, destroys, and the third D, James says, well, it can actually define your life as well. Notice this, verse 9, he says, with the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it curse men who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth can praise and cursing. My brothers, this should not be. And then he asks this question, pay attention here, he says, can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? My brothers, can a fig tree bear olives or a grapevine bear figs? Well, neither can salt spring produce fresh water. Have you ever heard someone say, I just wish people would sort of pay attention to my heart? Have you ever heard, or maybe you've said that? Here's the thing, people do pay attention to our hearts by the words that we speak. We are known by our words. Jesus says this in Luke 6:45. He says, for the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. The mouth speaks what the heart is full of. This morning as I was getting ready, I was a little sleepy this morning, more so than usual. I come out to the kitchen, I'm dressed, and I get my breakfast, and I'm sort of fumbling around. Any of you in here who are sort of like zombies in the morning, you just kind of, the day doesn't begin until 2:30 in the afternoon. So I walk into the kitchen, I'm getting my food ready, and as I'm finishing up, I look at the time, I'm like, oh, I gotta get out, gotta go. And right then, I reach over for my glass of water, which I've just filled. I've just filled this glass of water. And I'm thinking, I just need a little drink of water. And the problem is, though, my hand sort of slipped. And as it slips, I knock this glass of water all over the counter. I cleaned it up, sweetheart. It's good, okay. And so, water everywhere. Under the coffee maker, under the bananas, may have gotten on some homework for Stephen. And we just kind of cleaned that up, and the dog didn't eat it, Daddy ruined it. I mean, we just kind of, so it goes everywhere. I quickly clean it up. Now here's the interesting thing. Water is what was inside of the cup. So what do you guess came out when the cup was bumped? Water. It didn't magically turn into orange juice or milk. I wish it had been orange juice. Because I like orange juice. But the interesting thing is this. And you guys know this. This is obvious. Whatever's in you comes out of you. Jesus says, out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. You get bumped. You apologize to James Craighead. Okay. Stay with me. Here's a point. Some of us are trying to manage our words without ever reflecting on the source of our words. You say, I don't know why sometimes certain things come out of me. Well, here's why. Those things have gotten in you. It's not enough to lock your mouth, because here's the reality. If you're like every other human, when you get bumped hard enough, it's coming out. This is why you can know the character of a person not in the good moments, but in the tough moments when life bumps them. Out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. This is what James is saying. Can a fig tree produce olives? No, what's in it comes out of it. Can, if you go to the Atlantic Ocean, you're not going to find fresh water. Why? Because the Atlantic Ocean is full of salt water. What's in you comes out of you. This is why it's not about simply trying harder. It's about going deeper to the source of who we are as believers. This is why James's statement that we started off with is that genuine faith leads to good deeds, not the other way around. Your deeds don't create faith. Faith produces good deeds. So if I'm looking at the fruit of my life and I go, oh, that's just not what I want to see, instead of saying, well, I got to try harder, rather, I've got to lean in deeper. Family, that's why we've been going through this as a family. This is why we're inviting you to spend time with the source of life. That it's not enough on Sunday to gather in here for a few minutes, but to be with him and to allow his words, his thoughts, his ideas to just sort of saturate and permeate our lives. Because here's the final thing, if you want to write this down, go ahead and put this up. If I don't like what's coming out, address what's going in. If you don't like what's coming out of your mouth right now, if it's reflecting things that you go, man, that's just not what I want to be or who I want to be or who I've been called to be, then spend more time on what's going in. And here's the way to do it. This morning, take these notes. And then tomorrow, as you're doing your journaling, and we're just doing soap every day, passage of scripture. So soap, S is the scripture, O is the observation, what's in it, A is application, and P is prayer. What do I need to do, and how do I want to ask God to help me? You take these notes and you begin to reflect on them. And tomorrow you begin to talk to the Father and say, help me in this, help me in this, help me in this. And here's what he'll begin to do. He will fill you up so what comes out is him, because that's what's in you. I want to end this morning with just one reality, and then we're going to go into a time of prayer. We've said a lot of different things. The power of the tongue, it directs our lives, it can destroy our lives, and it also defines our lives. But here's the ultimate thing. The Bible tells us that for God so loved the world that he gave his only son for you, for me, for everyone who has or will ever live. I want you to listen to that word, because this is the word spoken over you. These are God's words to you. God loves you. Oh, but Josh, you don't know what I've done. No, you're right, I don't. But he does. And he knew everything you would ever do before he went to the cross. And yet he still said, I love you that much, I will go to the cross. This is why when Jesus was baptized in Matthew chapter 3, there's this beautiful moment where Christ goes down in the water, and when he comes up, the sky opens, the Holy Spirit descends on him like a dove, and then words are spoken from God the Father on Jesus. This is my Son whom I love. Because those are the three things that happen when you come to Christ, when you are saved. The sky, the thing, that your sin that has separated you from God is broken apart. God's Holy Spirit comes upon you. And although you may never hear it, God's word speaks to all the cosmos about you. I love you. You're my boy. You're my girl. I don't know what words are tattooed on the heart of your mind right now, but I would invite you this morning to begin to reflect on this truth. You are a loved created child of God if you're in Christ. And if you're not in Christ, you are still a loved, created being who can become a child of God today. We're going to go into a time of prayer. Some of our shepherds are going to be down.